Good morning, Rabbi Yisai. Just before I begin, I wanted to publicly thank Hashem and to thank the Olam. I've recently printed a sefer to do with vacation halachas. Much of the material was developed in the Shirim here in Start the Day, so I want to thank the Olam for giving me the opportunity to do so. And Amir Tzashem, you'll see it in the Kehillah, in different bookshops, etc., in the near future. But I want to thank you, and I want to thank Hashem publicly for having the schus to bring it to the public. So today, totally unrelated subject to that, I had a friend who had some good connections, and he went to visit Reb Chaim Kanievsky in Bnei Brak, and he had a proper meeting with him, not just a quick passing by in a buha, although that's a gewaltic thing as well from an Adam Gadol, but he had time to sit down with him, and he was given a certain degree of VIP treatment. On the way out, the Gabayim, because of who he was and his connections, where he said to him, "Here, take this," and they handed him a little bottle of wine. And this wine is apparently famous wine because it's from the Siyum Ashas that Reb Chaim, not Siyum Ashas, Siyum Kol HaTorah Kula, that Reb Chaim makes every year, Erev Pesach. So the Gabayim take a little bit from that wine and they put it into other bottles, and then certain people are given this, maybe they have a tzorach, or maybe the Gabayim feel the person...
Is that a new thing?
No, it's not a new thing. I was going to mention that. But this is the first I had heard of it. He gave him the wine, he brought it back to England, and as it turns out, it's not such a new thing. Someone told me when I was preparing the shir that there was an ad in some sort of tzedakah, whatever it was, booklet, and said, if you pay £72, you can have the similar kind of diluted wine from Reb Chaim of Tzanz. And we've managed to save some of it and put it into other bottles and other bottles and other bottles. And the fellow was so excited. He wasn't a Tzanz chassid, but he decided he'd buy it for a friend. So he brought it back, and then he put it under his bed, and he slept on it, and he said he almost got to have some of the wine. But apparently there's wine from Chaim Tzanz, there's also wine from the Bavitcher Rebbe, and from the Baba Sali, the Arak, the Baba Sali, still sold, some small portion is sold publicly in Eretz Yisrael. So anyway, it's not the only time it's done, but the interesting thing about this wine is that not only is it the segula wine, but it's Sudas Mitzvah wine. So it has all the milas. It's from Sudas Mitzvah, and Reb Chaim, when he finishes Shas, and I think we should just keep that in perspective, that the segula, as great as it is, the Sudas Mitzvah element is much, much greater. It affects halacha of Sudas Mitzvah. Reb Scheinberg, when I was in Eretz Yisrael, they were arranging for him, every meal he ate was from a Sudas Mitzvah. That means all of his Talmidim would have a bar mitzvah or a bris or a chasana, and they would arrange to bring him food. Every meal of the day should be a Sudas Mitzvah. Now, if he was matriach himself to eat punkt from that kind of food, we see the chashivas. But nevertheless, we're going to speak about the segula, not the Sudas Mitzvah element. Okay, so now, what is the segula? And the thing is, it's quite unclear, because they're giving it to anybody who comes. Now, I heard about it from somebody else in town who received it for a very specific reason. They, unfortunately, have a child who is delayed in their speaking in a significant way, and they were told that this wine, if you apply it daily to the lips of the child who needs to improve the speech, that can be of some help. And can't comment on what exactly happened after that, but the fellow who went to visit had no need. This woman, for her child, had a need. So I don't know what exactly the parameters are, but people certainly want it. So now, when he came back with this wine, my friend, I said to him, "Well, can I have some?" Now, typically, you say that's quite a cheeky thing to ask. If you have a 500-pound bottle of whiskey, and I say to you, "Oh, just let me have one cupful," so you say, you know, there's the door. I'll give it to who I want to. So, but this wine has a very big advantage, and that is that, like we're saying, you can mix it into hundreds and thousands of bottles, so you don't lose out from it. You're giving people a chashiv thing, and it doesn't cost you anything except for the wine that you mix it into. So I said to him in passing, because Purim was approaching, I said, maybe you could send it to Mishalach Manas. You've got a winner here, because typically we say that you shouldn't just give. The Bir Halacha says and it's discussed in the Gavriel more at length, that if you give Mashon of Manish, you give something choshev, that the recipient is excited to get. So most of us satisfy ourselves with shiny paper, a box of nuts, and a drink, and we hope that the shiny paper wins people over. And often, to be, you know, we'll be honest, we're happy, but I wouldn't say we feel that was a mechubedik. So I said, here, you've got something that's basically free. People will be delighted to get it. Give it out as Mashalach Manas. So unfortunately, he wasn't as organized as I would have hoped. And a couple months went by before I got my special delivery. Now that's relevant, why, how much time I'm telling you, just telling my life story. I'd say it was a couple of months because it's relevant to the Shaila. And that is, I found out in the interim that this fellow very, very kindly invited a non-frum member of his extended family to live in his house. He was a person who didn't have anybody taking care of him. And he said, right, we've got a granny flat or a grandpa flat, whatever you want to call it, you can live there. Which is fine, wonderful. The only thing is the man who lives there is a Mechalel Shabbos. So now, and this flat is not a flat with a separate compartment. The man has total access to the house, as far as I know. He can walk wherever he likes. And somehow they strike this balance between someone who's, I don't know how much he's Mechalel Shabbos, but he's not keeping Shabbos properly. And he's got access to the whole house. So the Shaila was, my wonderful wine had now ended up in, well, we'll come to Mevushal in a minute. But it'd been in the house for someone who's not Shomer Shabbos, and that could be a bit like the fellow who slept on his wine. It's wonderful you have segula wine, but if it's aser to drink, it doesn't help you that you got the segula. Stay away from it. So that's what we're going to discuss today. And the, yes, all good points. Mitzshem, if I don't mention them, because there's a lot of different akudas, please remind me, because it's very relevant. So, what is the Isser? Let's just quickly remind ourselves, if you haven't heard it before, it's worth hearing. Gemara in Shabbos says, Amar Avimi, Sanvasa, Pita Vishamna Vienam, these three things, the bread, the oil, and the wine of the Goyim, the Yud Ches Davar. It's a Durabanan. Keep that in mind. We're talking about Durabanan. We're not talking about wine that you watch somebody pour out in front of an idol. We're talking about any Goy with wine. The Chazal made a gezeira that they shouldn't be in contact with your wine, and the contact and the type of contact will be discussed. So we say, and what's the Gemara says, what's the reason? I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, Eidu Gazer, Opitam Vishamla Mishum Yenam, and Yenam Mishum Benoy Sehem. Wine, part of the reason we made a gezeira is we don't want intermarriage. So everybody knows that when there's drinking, there's sometimes lightheadedness and there's socializing. So the Chazal said, Ad Khan, you can't have their wine, and they shouldn't be touching your wine. And the Shulchan Aruch explains what we've said. Stam, this is in Kuf Chaf Gimel Aleph. It says, Stam Yenim Shal Oedik Chavim Asur B'Hanol, the wine of a goy, nothing to do with whether he worshipped it or not. The Chazal made it Asur B'Hanol. V'hu Adin L'Magon, and they touch B'Yain Shalon. If they touch your wine, it's kosher wine. Mahadrim and Mahadrim, and they touch your wine, it's the same problem. And the Ramah says, Meshum Gezeris Yain Shin Isnasek to the Avodah Zarah. So that's the reasoning. Bezman hazeh, and this is going to be relevant, but it's not going to help us too much, and that's she'en shchiach ha'umos menaschin l'avodis kavim. They're not so, so busy nowadays, already in the times of Ramah, serving idols. So if so, what's the din now? Because if we're saying we're worried, we made the gezeirah, one of the reasons was for the daughters, and one of the reasons was because of avodah zarah, but they're not doing so much avodah zarah nowadays in many of the parts of the world where we're going. Okay, admittedly, if you go to other parts of the world, you'll find it probably as it always used to be in India. So Yeshomim says the Ramah, the Maga of the Chavim b'yayim shalano ain't aser b'hanah. Some say there's no isra no, but rak b'shtia. But there's still an iser shtia. So that means, very nice, maybe now you could collect it as a debt, maybe you could do some sort of schur if you had to do schur with it, but you still can't drink it. Now, I wasn't interested in opening the factory to sell the wine, right? Although the people selling the Baba Salih Zarak are doing very nicely from it, but I myself, that's not my Isaac. I wanted to have the wine, I didn't want to share the wine with other people, I wanted to drink it. Now, I want to bring out, because you might say, Sturbana and Sveikas, let's be Makel. Listen to the words first of the Shulchan Aruch, and then how the Chochmas Adam adds on top. The Shulchan Aruch says, "You cannot use this wine." Asul asos merchatz mistam yenam l'choyle shein b'sakana. You can't use their wine. He's taking on the Shulchan Aruch is taking on if there is this iser hanal, which there could be. Remember, the Ramah only said yesh omrim. He didn't say this is cut and dry. This is not iser hanal. You can't use it even if a person had a skin illness and you wanted to make a bath out of this wine. You can't do it unless the person has a sakana nefashis. That means it's pretty serious. This is Rabbanan, but we're talking about pretty sick people, and you still can't use it unless it's Sekhanas Nefashas. But the Chochmas Adam takes it up a whole other level. He says, normally we say, if you have something Asubahana, and you have someone who's got Sekhanas Nefashas, they're mechuyev to eat the food, right? They can't say, I won't eat this Asur food because it's treif. We say to him, listen, you ma'abed atamidas, you're killing yourself. It's usher to do this. Says the Chochmas Adam, because of the Rishon holds that this is a Vizraidu Avodah Zorah, it touches on Avodah Zorah, you're allowed to refuse to drink it, even if you die from it. Right? It shows you how chomer is an issur d'rabbanan. We're not talking about the wine that was poured out. He says, stam yenam, a person can choose to kill themselves rather than to drink this wine. And he goes further than that, in case that wasn't frightening enough. He says, a person who drinks stam yenam shogoyim is ein lo chelek l'olam haba. Now again, that's a pella. Why should that be? If a person ate orla, would we say asubana, deraisa in many cases? We're going to say ein lo chelek l'olam haba because of that. So it seems to be there's something in Stam Yenam that's much more serious than we imagine. And if so, I don't want to play around with as much as I want Segula. I'd much rather have a Chelek Min Olam Haba. So that's the case. The case is we have this Mechalel Shabbos with the wine, and we want to, is this a recipe, pardon the pun, for disaster? Now, we have something to our advantage, and that is that he identifies himself as being Jewish. He does not go around with a ponytail in the back and a shaved head and orange garments. That's not what he does. He looks and he tries to be Jewish. He turns up at shul occasionally, but nevertheless, not keeping Shabbos. So to say that he's a full-blown Ovid Avodah Zorah, we can't say that. On the other hand, he's Mechalel Shabbos. How much of a Mechalel Shabbos? So the Shulchan Aruch, in speaking about Erevin, says it depends how much he's Mechalel Shabbos, to see how to define him, Legabi Erevin. He says like this, Yisrael Mumer Loivis Kechavim Oy Lechalel Shabbos for Hesia. If he's Mechalel Shabbos publicly, even if it's only a Durabanan, he is like Harehu Ka'akum. He gets the din of a goy. And this is the din to do with Erevin. Im Eino Mechalel Ela Betzino, if he only does it privately, so Filu Mechalel B'Issa D'Raisa, but he does it in private, he does Issa D'Raisa in private, Harehu Ki Yisrael Mevatel B'Shus, and he has the din of Erevin like a Yid. So we have a bit of a gray area here. We need to find out, at least by Erevin, number one, how much is Mechalel Shabbos? Would he do it in front of a Talmud Chacham? The Mishnah Berurah says, Im is Bayish Lasso Yisrael B'Fnei Adam Gadol, Afshay Yisrael Yisrael B'Fnei Kama Anoshim Gamze L'Tzim. If he does it in front of a few people, but as soon as the Rav, he's driving along down the main road, he sees the Rav, he quickly ducks down, so nobody, the Rav can't see him driving, so he say he is Mechalel Shabbos, but the Mishnah Berurah wants to say he may not be considered Befar Hesia. Okay, and also it could be Tinekshad Ishba. But nevertheless, this guy, I don't actually think has that claim so much, because I think he grew up in a country where there was some Jewish education. It's not so posh to say he was a Tinekshad Ishba. Okay, so in any event, what is the problem? What do we think that he might have done to my wine? So, if he would be a goy, let's learn the lachas, what would be if he was a goy? Right, so my son was making homemade wine, which is becoming a bit of a fashion in town. I don't know if you meet more and more people doing it. We had a big white bucket about this big of what looked like strange fruit punch, but was in fact homemade wine. And the reason I say that is it wasn't obviously wine. It looks like some painter's bucket, and somebody had extra from the chasana, and they threw all the fruit punch into the bucket. And we have a Polish cleaner, and seemingly most of them are Catholics. I never gave her a fair, but let's presume for the sake of the shayla that that's what she is. And we also don't know how observant and very calm she is of her faith, and even what would be if she would have touched my son's wine. Now, this is relevant. Lots of people doing. In fact, someone told me a very interesting shayla. They said they had wine in the house, and they had a ganav who broke in, which he said is reasonable to assume he was probably a goy, which I think is right, and he had open access to the house. He wasn't looking for wine, he was looking for money. But nevertheless, he could have touched whatever he wanted. They were out for a couple of days. So now, what will be if we have to assume that a goy touches the wine? So the Shulchan Aruch says, even if it would be a goy who is an infant, it would still ruin the wine. You have a tiny child who the shachs is even one day old. He doesn't know Avodah Zorah. He's never practiced Avodah Zorah. He doesn't know the names of Avodah Zorah. He doesn't know the roster yet. They haven't taught him the teams and who the players are. He doesn't know nothing. But he touches your wine. It's going to be Aser. It's Aser B'Shtiyah at least. And so too, somebody who, let's take on that she really isn't practicing Noitzri. And when she calls her mother and her mother says, "You're going every Sunday?" She says, yes, mom." But really, in fact, she's busy doing something else. So what would be with her? She does not do avodah zarah. Nevertheless, the wine is aser b'shtiyah, as the Shulchan Aruch says. So if she will touch the wine, we're in big trouble. Now, who is it, the people that the Taz says, who are the people who don't serve idols? So we'd love him to say the Christians, but he doesn't. He says, Kegoyne Yishmaelim. And he doesn't go any further. Now, he lived, as far as I know, people could correct me, he lived amongst the Noitzrim. He didn't live amongst the Yishmaelim. So he has to think of Goyim, who are 500 miles to the east, to think of who isn't serving idols. Shema Mina, without upsetting the local people, that he's telling you that these folks are still at least a Suffolk if they're serving Avodah Zarah. And certainly in the eastern part of Europe, I think it's a much bigger chashash. So, not clear-cut who exactly she is and what she would do, whether it's an Isser Hanoah or an Isser Shtiyah. The other thing someone pointed out was, that's not wine. Big barrels of fruit punch on the floor is not wine. Nobody, you can't, if you buy it in the shop, you'd return it. So you're right and you're wrong. But it depends if you have taken some wine out. If it's in the very raw stage, then it may not be wine. But we had already drunk about 4 bottles worth of it, had 20 bottles worth in. And the Shulchan Aruch says, as soon as you start pulling off wine, it's called hamshacha, you've already given the shame wine, even on what's still in the barrel, even on the grapes and the parts that you're not going to drink. I mean, it's all considered a big wet mixture. If they touch any part of that, then the goy is going to ruin it. Now, on the one hand, there was no reason really for her to reach into the big white bucket and to start touching my wine, because she'd be nitfas kaganav. We'd say, why? We didn't ask you to clean the grapes. We asked you to clean the floor. We sent her in there to mop the floor. We said, please mop the floor. Why is she going there and touching our grapes? So she has a certain aima that she shouldn't be doing that. However, the other problems. Number one, we've asked her to mop the floor. The big bucket is on the floor. How is she going to mop the floor under where the bucket is? Obvious answer is, even a Polish cleaner knows this, you push the bucket, right? So it means she's taking her hands, or at least the mop, and she's pushing the bucket. And if we're really in trouble, she may lift the bucket, and in the course of lifting it, give it a bit of a shake, because buckets shake, and then put it back down somewhere else. That's called shikshuch b'hagba. She's lifted it, and she shaked it, and this bucket was not sealed. At the time, we hadn't thought about sealing. It was closed, but it wasn't sealed. Afterwards, we found, every time she's coming now, we're putting tape on the rim, and we're putting a chosim there. But at that time, it wasn't. So if she picks it up and shakes it, we're getting very close to some problems. Even if, and she would be, we couldn't catch her as a ganav doing that, because we told her to mop the floor. So what's going to be with the wine in the bucket? So, says the Shulchan Aruch, Ketzad hu hanegiya she'oisur bo'iv dekhovim. What is the type of touching that's going to make the wine asur bano? She'ig b'yod. He touched it with his hand, that means the grapes themselves, or some of them were quite talented, oy b'raglo, with their feet. I don't know how they do that. I guess they're like football. They figured out ways to do the wine with their feet as well. But anyway, if they would do that, some say that's not the derech to do nisach, it's not covered for their getchka to do it like that, but at least with their hand, oy b'davar acher, v'yishach sheikh. Or if she had something else and she shook it, afilu b'fiv, and even her mouth. Now that's incredible. That's the most relevant case to us, because Nagia doesn't only mean with your hand. It also means if you would, she's not going to pick up the big bucket and drink from it, but if you had a bottle of wine and the goy, when nobody's looking, took a drink from it, well, your lips are as much a Nagia as your hand. And so your lips are in contact with the whole bottle is ruined. So what do we think she did? We think she moved the bucket, Bapashtas. So now, says the Shulchan Aruch further on, if it's Bekli Pasuach, and then we've got a problem if she's going to shake it. But the Ramah says, "Rabim choykim loy medim shach shake begufoy shal keli." That if she would pick up the keli itself, beloy hagba, without lifting it, in other words, she's shoving it to do her mopping. Loy mikri shichshuch. That's not called shichshuch. V'kein ein lahachmir b'mokim pseida. Now, 16 bottles of wine by us was a pseida, was a loss. So she's pushing it out of the way, holding the bucket. So at least the Shulchan Aruch would be mekel. And the Shach explains, not only is it mutter to sell, it's mutter even b'shtiyah. And the Piskei Tshuva comes with a bigger kula. He says, mutter l'didan, we who don't live among people who are doing so much idol worship, mutter would say to afilu hagbiyah v'shishach sheikh, even if she lifted it and shook it, because presumably they're not doing idol worship, which we're not so clear who we're talking about is or isn't doing it, that will be mutter b'mokim Seder. So if she, even if she would have lifted our bucket and shaken it and put it down, as long as she's not a full-blown member of the club over there, so then our wine would be mutter. The other, another reason to be makel is if she doesn't know it's wine at all, which is arguable that she wouldn't have known, because it doesn't look like wine, it looks like fruit punch. So I'll just summarize. Basically, the Shulchan Aruch there says, if it was our wine to touch, shaloi b'kavana harezim mutter b'shtia. She didn't know it was wine inside. It's another reason why to be makel. Now, this is all wonderful. We've discussed my wine in my son's bucket over there. But what does that have to do with us? Well, we've got a few problems. Number one, this wine was in a wine bottle. It was in something that Geboyim are not going to give it to in a tin can. Right? They want to send you with something mechubed, something that looks like wine, suitable wine. So you bring it, you put it in your house in Manchester. This Mechallel Shabbos is walking through the house. He's going to see, number one, that it's wine. Number two, he may want to try some, especially if it's the famous rabbi's wine, who wouldn't want to drink some. So we've got the concern that he may not only pick it up and shake it, he may drink some. And once he drinks some, it's touched his lips. Okay, it's not the most, he's not going to win prizes for etiquette, but nevertheless, we've seen people drinking out of small bottles in our lives, especially if he doesn't want to get caught, you know, maybe it shouldn't take too much, he takes a little sip and he puts it back. Anyway, so our case is more complicated in that regard, because... Sorry? He's going to make it worse, make it Aster B'Shtia. We're saying even worse. Then I can't even drink after him. If he drinks from this bottle and it's not some heter, why it wouldn't be a problem like Mavusha, which we'll come to soon, then he's ruined the wine. I can't do anything with it. Now, we really don't have to assume that he is an Ovid Vodzora because he grew up, he lived in England. Why should he be worse than the local Goyim? Local Goyim, they're not that involved. They're not like the Polish. And in which case, we don't think we have to worry that he's a full-blown Ovid Vodzora. So we're probably talking about an Isser Shtia. Oh, so that's a very good question. So now, everything we've assumed till now is that he's somehow involved with the Avodah Zarah. But what does this have to do with a person who's Mechallel Shabbos? In other words, who says that there's this connection? We prove by Erevin there's a connection, but why are we assuming that that connection exists by Yayin Nesach? And in fact, the Chasam Sofer says the connection is not correct. The assumption is not right. I'm not saying everybody agrees to this Chasam Sofer, but it certainly is very helpful. He says like this, exactly your point. The made Yayin Nesach Aser Mishum Chasnas. But with somebody who's Mechallel Shabbos, who's a Jew, so there's no Isser Chasnas. You can marry his daughter. There are plenty of people who've married the daughters of people in Mechallel Shabbos, and the Masada Kedushin has no problem with that, and the Edom have no problem with that. So it says the Chasam Sofer, the whole reason doesn't apply. The fellow's not worshipping idols. Pashtis, he's just Mechallel Shabbos, not just, but I'm saying that's all the issue is. Number two, his daughter's a mutter to marry. But loy mishum, we're not worried about Avodah Zarah, we're not worried about his daughter. Ella mishum kanasa, because of kanas. We don't want to have too much involvement with him, we want to put a penalty on his wine, however you define the kanas. But he's, according to the Chasam Sofer, we've moved it from Nisa to Rabbanin to now be a kanas. He doesn't say, therefore it's mutter. He says, ein lahachmir kol kach. Don't be so stringent. And all the more so if you don't know that he touched the wine. Now you can understand these words in two ways. The one way is that you have to have watched him go over and touch the wine. Then you would know. And if not, the Chasam Sofer says, don't worry about it. Or you could say, if you put somebody in a room with a bottle of wine, and he has totally free access, and there's no reason why he shouldn't touch it, so then can you really say that he didn't touch the wine? As much as he picked up the pencil, and as much as he opened the cupboard, why shouldn't he pick up and touch the wine? It's all totally available to him. So that's, I'm not sure how makel the Chasam Sofer was trying to be. Now somebody called it, what about mevushal? Now, I just want to point out that what we call mevushal, admittedly, every heksher in the world says mevushal means that it was flash pasteurized. Right? That's what they mean. They do not mean that they took your 30-pound bottle of wine and they boiled it on the stovetop and then they poured it back in the bottle. Right? If you think that's what you're getting in mevushal, so you better do it yourself, because it's not happening. So, first of all, who says Reb Chaim used mevushal wine to begin with? I would have thought Bapashtis, by Dinei Kiddush, there's a hiddur to use unmevushal wine. And somebody didn't like this comparison, but I wanted to say, who had been by any Sudas Mitzvah there could be a mila to use. I thought there would be a mila to use on mevusha wine. I couldn't find a makor for that. But we see it by dini kiddush, so I wasn't sure why we should make a chiluk. And then my friend who took it from Eretz Yisrael, he's not going to mix it there with wine because the airplane staff go mad with all the liquids. So it's in your interest probably to keep it the minimum amount of liquids. He brings it back to England. He puts it in his house. First of all, when did he mix it, if he mixed it at all, with Mahusha wine? And how much did he mix it with? And who knows that we can say with confidence everything's okay. It's been done with Mahusha wine before I got it. I don't know if that's true. Maybe he mixed it with non-Mahusha wine. This is a suffix. The other thing is, who says that this is called Mahusha wine at all? The Shulchan Aruch says, what's one me'emasai nikris Mahusha? Only mishahartiach al gabi esh, when it boils on the fire. That's why I said the lashon shulchan aruch, but pashtus is boiling. Now, admittedly, that's not the only pshat. The Bira Gross has two possibilities. It could be yad saletis bo, which is a type of heating up which somehow fits this description of boiling, or it's proper boiling, which someone pointed out, if you like science, they said boiling isn't always 100 degrees centigrade. It depends on what altitude you are. So whatever it is it takes to get it boiling, you have to do that, right? But on the other hand, you say yad saletis bo, which is somewhere between 43 and 80 degrees centigrade, which is what we're relying on when we say the yain is mevushal. But we're not, when we say relying on it, you shouldn't imagine that you've been yaitzi the kol hadeis that this wine is mevushal. And another problem is that the shach says, what does the boiling do? Whichever temperature you want to go with, he says, "Dahainishis ma'itu mimidasoi ayudeya resicha." The wine has reduced in its at least in its volume, and you could understand its quality through the boiling. Now, first of all, the winemakers have every interest not to reduce the quality. That's exactly what they don't want. And second of all, they have a closed system when they boil it. They have some sort of a flash pasteurizer where they don't lose a drop of wine, or if they can try, they don't want to lose a drop of wine. So you have neither condition. You're not making it less in quality, and you're not making it less in volume. So according to the Shach, even if you say the temperature is right, but you also haven't gotten there in terms of reducing it. You haven't reduced it anyway. No, I said to you, every heksher in the world considers mevushal this process. If they write mevushal on the bottle, very reliable heksherim are writing this is mevushal, and I wouldn't want to cast dispersions on what they're writing at all. I'm just pointing out that like everything in the world, life is complicated, and you have to know what you're relying on when you rely on. They're comfortable to rely on it, but if anybody wants to say, I don't want to rely on that, then they have room. They're not being excessively machmir if they don't want to rely on it. Okay, so now another point, if there would have been a seal on the bottle, everything would have been fine, but in fact, there was no reason to think, I don't believe Reb Chaim's Geboyim have a sealing machine that they're putting professionally into bottles and closing them. Mistama, anybody's been there, they can tell me, it's probably a simple plastic bottle or a simple glass bottle, and there's no seal, you can unscrew it in a second. Okay, so the other thing that might have saved the day is if this Mechabel Shabbos was scared of being caught. That means if he knew this was off limits, you have a yotzev and nichnas, or a fear that he shouldn't be involved with this, that also would have helped. The problem is, the halacha says, yotzev and nichnas can help if you're going, this is by a goy, if you've got wine in your reshus and you leave him, it's asur b'hanah. What is the amount of time? So one place the Shulchan Aruch says l'zman mu'at, which is k'day mil, 18 or 24 minutes, with a very, very short shear. Elsewhere, I'm not exactly sure how to miyashiv this, the Shulchan Aruch says that you have as long as they're afraid of being caught, which could be a much longer time. But once they're not afraid of anything, so then you have no shmira on the wine, right? Because why shouldn't I touch it? On the contrary, you let me, the Mechal Shabbos fellow could say to himself, you let me drink everything in the house. This bottle of wine you don't let me touch. He's going to understand that? It's just wine. It's 10 different wines. Why shouldn't I drink this one? And if you say, well, maybe the cupboards were locked, or maybe people were popping in and out the whole time, I think it's stretching the imagination. The man was allowed to live in the house. They may go out shopping for 2 hours. They may leave him for a day. He was an independent person. Why should they be yotzei v'nichnas into the place where the wine is the whole time? At Befrat, I'm not even sure if the wine owner was aware that there was an issue. So why should we assume there was any shmira? Fine. So for my son's wine, at least that would be an Eitzah. Because Kol Zman that you're in the house, I was told by Rav, even if you're not in the room, and even if you're not popping in every 18 minutes, but you could pop in at any time, even if you're upstairs doing something else, that is enough of a Shmira, at least B'di'evet. The Rav made a point of telling me it's B'di'evet. He said, really, make sure you put a seal on the wine.
She gets the bucket, then she moved it.
So he said, if she moved it, if she moved and she didn't lift it into shichshuch, you're right, it's interesting because it could take a second and she has permission to do it as well. We're telling her to move the bucket. So I asked the Shaila, he seemed to think Yotzeh v'nichnas was enough befrat. If we say that she wasn't Oved Avodah Zarah, so then we said that it may not be that there's anything else than an Isser Shtia, and it was a sealed bucket, so that also, it was a closed bucket, so we didn't think she's going to touch it. So anyway, I hear your point. In a chinami, basically given her permission, and she won't be called out for moving it. She would be a bit funny to shake it, though. I'm not saying, yeah, okay, it's true. You can move it in a normal way. I hear the point. Okay, so now, I really wanted this wine, let's be honest. I wanted to drink the wine. It came all the way from Israel. It was Reb Chaim Segula wine. And I put on my thinking cap, and I thought, what am I going to do to get some of this wine beheter? Because at this stage, I had a strong thought it was beisser. So I came with a very simple solution, which you all are probably going to shout out, you can't do that. And the solution was to take 60 parts of kosher wine and mix it into this wine with the doubts lingering on it. Very good. Okay, so I was hoping you'd all shout that out. Ein mevatlin isser l'chachila. The Gemara says, in Be'a, this Mishnah quotes it, Ein mevatlin isser l'chachila. But I've got an answer for you. And again, you're not going to like my answer much. The Gemara says, Hani mili bin deraisa of abad rabbanin mevatlin. If it's an issa deraisa, you can't mevatlin l'chachila. It says the Gemara, but if it's derabbanin, you can. Now, anybody have a problem with that? Well, if you know Tosfos says derabbanin and deraisa can also be affected by where does the issa stem from. If Tosfos says, if the derabbanin is based on a deraisa, it gets the chumras of the deraisa. That means, although we said Yain Nesach is one of the Yud Ches Davar, and according to Chasam Sofer, it's a kanas. So what does it have to do with deraisa? The answer is the whole reason it was created in the first place was a deraisa. So Tosfos would say, in which case, if it's ikron, avabu davash ikroi mederaisa, he says, ein mevatlin. So I'm not doing so well, because I want to mevatel this, and it's not so clear-cut that this is a derabbanan. But if we rely, let's say, on the Chasam Sofer, then it's not even an Issa Derabbanan anymore. It's a Kanas. Right? It's a Kanas isn't... It may be originally called the Deraisa, but it's not the Issa Derabbanan even. So now, I had a different problem. That was like this. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to be very clever. I'm trying to mevatel the wine so that the Issa disappears. But I'm trying to keep the Segula in the wine. So on the one hand, I'm saying the wine has disappeared. On the other hand, I'm saying the parts of the wine that I want to keep is still here. Right? So there's some very strong words for people like me. The Pischei Tshuva says, if a person says that mevatzel in b'shishim doesn't work, he says, Misha roitze lahachmir linhoig iser b'davar shaloi mitzinu lahachmiroi. The Gemara says, this is batel. And you say, I'm going to be machmir. I don't believe in bitzel b'shishim. Says the Pischei Tshuva's, havi kamoi apikoris. Is it apikoris? The Chazal says bottle is bottle. You can't be too clever and say it's not bottle for what I want. Okay, now the advantage I might have in this case is that we said that this segula works not b'shishim. They're mevatel in thousands and thousands of bottles over the years. So if so, you could mevatel the gabi the shishim thing. But the thing which is in a bottle, even be'elef, it's not bottle. So I'm not saying there's no bittel. I'm saying this hasn't reached the shear of bittel, the gabi, the segula. Where's that shear? I've no idea, but we haven't gotten there yet. So I'm not denying the bittel. And if you say this is very far-fetched, then people who've heard of the idea of chayuz v'nir understand that you can still have something which you've assered, something you've mevatled, and yet the shame hadavar, the thing that you've mevatled, is still waiting to wake up and come up back to its true identity. Chayuz v'nir, it wakes up again. That means I've mevatled it, but it still has the shame of whatever it was you tried to mevatel waiting to come out. So I want to say the same thing here. I have mevatled it, but the name of the segula wine is efshar, that it is still available. So now, another thing to my advantage to this funny plan is there's a darkei tshuva which says that it's true you can't mevatel iser lechatchila, but if it's a suffek iser, perhaps you can. And he brings dayas both ways, whether you can or you can't. But I was pointed out that that's one suffek. But once it's a sveik sveika, then maybe nobody holds you can't mevatel iser. So now all we have to do is get out our suffek counting chart and see how many sveikas we have in this case. And I think even the biggest cynic here will probably agree we have at least two sveikas, and I think possibly more. Admittedly, one of the things I'm going to say is things which were efshar levarer. That means, why don't I just go and ask this fella? I can knock on his door and say, you know that mechalel Shabbos is living in your house? Tell me, would he mechalel Shabbos in front of a rav? Tell me, did he touch the wine? Did you watch him? How many times did you go in and out the room? Right? I could go and ask. What bothers us about this, hopefully? It's a bit nosy. It's a bit nosy, and it's embarrassing. And the shaila is, how far do you have to go to mimavara things? So I'll just say quickly, because we're almost out of time, you don't have to go to extreme measures always to mavara things. The Shulchan Aruch brings a case of measuring for the mechitzas of an enclosure, is it mitzumtzum or not? And he said, you don't have to go with your little Bosch electric digital measurer and measure the parts and the oimid, the parts of the oimid, and do all the maths and come back. This is an excessive tircha. You don't have to do that. So even though it's efshar levarer, the Torah doesn't expect you to do that. It's a Tosfos. And the Prima Goddam says a similar idea. You don't have to run after somebody who's gone on the train out of town and he knows the answer to the shaila about whether an animal is a treif or not. You don't have to drive after him in hot pursuit to try to find out the answer. It's a certain limit to the tircha. So my own chiddush, that maybe embarrassing people with these kinds of questions, don't rely on this please, is also begetter certain kinds of difficulty. It's difficult because you're humiliating people to ask them their private, what goes on in the house and what people are doing. Ask a Rav before you start asking these questions on the assumption that's Efshar Levarer, and ask a Rav as well if maybe I'm making up shtusim and you shouldn't rely on me. But in any event, let's do the Safek count. We're almost out of time. Number one, we're not really sure if this is an Isser Durabanan based on a Durais at all. Maybe it's just a Kanas like the Chasim Sofer, in which case you can Mevatel it. Mevatel B'shishin. Number two, maybe he's not Mechalel Shabbos in front of a Rav, and therefore he's not considered Mechalel Shabbos at all. Number three, who knows when the mevushal wine, if we want to rely on mevushal wine, was mixed in before or after this fellow had access to it. We don't know when he mixed it. He did mix it because he gave it to me with wine which was mevushal. Whatever number up to now, number four, who says he touched it? That's not much of a suffix when it comes to a goy, because we say you can't. If he's in the house with your wine, you have to assume he touched it. But we saw Chasam Sofer said that unless you know he touched it, you don't have to assume he touched it. Depending on what the pshat in that is. We don't know that he touched it. We never watched him do it. And we also don't know if he kept it locked up. We don't know if it was possible there was a yotzi v'nichnas until the time that it was mixed with this mevusha wine, all of which is very unlikely. I admit that last suffix is not really going to get us very far. But I think we could say, quite possibly, that we have enough sveikas, and if we have a sveika, so then we could mevatel the wine l'chatchila, which is what I asked my shaila. The Rav told me, yes, I can mevatel it l'chatchila in this case. One other reason to be makel with this wine altogether is the Igros Moshe, which I saved the best for last. He says the whole thing doesn't start. He says, the inyan yain shenaga boi mum l'shabas imutu ba'atma l'shtois. He says, what happens if someone's Mechalel Shabbos touches your wine? So Rav Moshe has a very lenient opinion. Again, I'm not trying to say this is the final lacha, but it is Rav Moshe Feinstein. He says, Mekol makam yayim di Yisrael muma l'shabbos, af she Mechalel Shabbos hu ka'ivit chachavim, al kol panim, ha'yadua barolan she'en ovid ovid chachavim. We know these people aren't serving idols. We know they're not doing any idol worship, pouring out the yayin to getchkes. So he says, lo shayach klal iser be'etzim. He says, this iser no longer applies. We don't find in the poskim anywhere mafurish that someone who's a mumin of Shabbos, he makes yayin nesach. This minog, the people have to be machmir. He says, poshit by him, that this is not something that everybody has to do. He says, we don't know if this is for Yirei Shemayim or this is for everyone. So he says, l'chein ein tam l'hachmir b'zeh. So at the end of it, at least you have that sheet to rely on, that he may not ruin your wine. If you ever b'shas l'tachak and you want to quote the Rav Moshe to the Rav who's telling you what to do with your wine, that's a possibility. My son's wine bucket, I'll think some more about thanks to your questions. But we should always be able to be a tzedek b'mer v'yameinu. Yeah. din.
This is